Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Bava Metzias, Pei Aleph. Okay, we're in the middle of the sixth parak of Bava Metzias, Socher, so Omnim. We are starting a Mishnah on Pei Amud Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf is Lanzech Nishmas Libi Gabriela Vashmuel. Mishnah starts off called Omnim Shomer Socher Heim. If you're an Omen, if you're a craftsman, so you're Shomer Socher. So that means the item is given over to you. You're going to work with the item. While you're working for the item, so eventually you're going to get paid. So you are now under the category of Shomer Socher. You are now a paid watchman. Okay, as we know, there are three, the Torah describes three types of Shomer. Now, there are Dalet Shomer. There are four Shomer in total. But to be accurate, and we're going to talk about this accuracy later on this morning as well, the Torah only describes three shomrim. There is a shomer chinam, a shomer sachar, and a shoel. Shomer chinam, somebody who watches something for free. So basically, I'm doing you a favor. I'm not getting paid for what I'm doing. I'm just watching it just because of friendship, and I'm going to try to be a nice guy. So what kind of liability do I have? So not a lot. I'm taking on full responsibility. I'm not getting any type of benefit in return. So there's only one scenario in which I'm going to be liable, and that's pshia. That's only if I'm negligent with the item. Shomer sachar, I'm going to get paid for watching the item. If I'm going to get paid for watching the item, so now I am getting some sort of reward, financial reward, for watching the item. So therefore, my level of responsibility has now been upped. So I'm going to be chayav for gneva ve'aveda. If the item was either stolen or I lost the item, so I'm going to be liable. Ones, however, I'm going to be potter. If something happens that was unforeseen and beyond my control, so I'm going to be exempt. And finally, the Torah describes a shoel. A shoel is somebody who borrows an item. So here, I'm getting all benefit and I'm not paying for it. I'm not renting the item. I'm getting full benefit. So there is full liability, full responsibility. So I'm going to be chayav under any circumstance. Well, not any. No, it's not that absolute. But I'm going to be chayav for pshia, obviously, for gneva ve'aveda, and even oni. So I'm going to be chayav for those scenarios. If it's mesa machmas malachto, if it dies while working, if I used it in regular usage, it just died. So then I'm not going to be liable. But short of that, I'm going to be liable under all circumstances. The Torah does not discuss a socher, a renter, and that's something we're going to be discussing in just a moment when we start the Gemara. But right now we're just talking about a craftsman. So the craftsman is given the item to watch. So the Mishnah says, of what level, of what category is he in terms of a shomer? So you really have three choices. So I know there's a socher, but right now the Torah describes that you have three choices. So of the three choices, which one are we going to go with? So the Mishnah tells us very clearly, we're going to go with shomer socher. He is a paid watchman. Now it's a little bit difficult right now to understand why should he be put in the category of a paid watchman, meaning he's not getting paid to watch the item, he's getting paid to work the item. So why are we calling him a shomer socher? So stay tuned. We're going to be discussing that very issue. Okay, but that was a lot of information in a short amount of time. The kulam shomer tol shochava ve'aveimau shomer chinam. Now let's say the craftsman, after he finishes the job, so he sends a message to the owner and he says, pick it up because I am done. And at this point in time, I'm not going to withhold it anymore. You pick it up anytime you want. So from this point going forward, now he's a shomer chinam. He's no longer a shomer sachar. Which, by the way, kind of tips the hat in terms of why previously he was a shomer sachar. But I know what's coming up ahead, so I'll just wait till the Gemara spells it out.
Is there any time limit? I mean, like, he calls me to pick it up.
In other words, from the moment he's telling you that he's no longer withholding it, so that's it. Now he drops a level from being a shomer sachar to a shomer chinam.
But he should give me the time to get it.
Okay, I hear. It's true, but I'm not getting paid to watch it, though. Okay, so shmorli v'shmorlecha shomer sachar. Let's say we do some reciprocity watching. I'll watch yours, you'll watch mine. So it's shomer sachar, so it's paid. Now over here, the payment does not come in the form of an actual payment, but it comes in the form of service, meaning service has value. And so if you're going to be doing for me a service and I'm going to be reciprocating for you a service, so for both of us, we are going to be providing services for one another, therefore shomer sachar. Shmorli v'armalei hanach lefanai. Let's say I go over to somebody and say, watch it for me, and the response is, okay, put it down in front of me. So then, shomer chinam. He has the status of a shomer chinam, meaning there was no talk about money, but the idea is that when, by just virtue of the fact that you say, put it down, so that means that I'm accepting some degree of shmira. Havel mashkon shomer sachar. If let's say I lend somebody money, and I'm holding a collateral against the loan, so shomer sachar, so I'm now going to be a shomer sachar on that item. For what reason? So stay tuned. We're going to discuss that in the Gemara, not today. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Alveil Maush or Mechinim Alveil Perish or Masachar. Rabbi Yehuda makes a distinction whether or not you're lending money or you're lending fruit. And again, stay tuned. We're going to be discussing the distinction tomorrow. Abba Shal Omer Rashar Adam Laskir Mashkenal Shal Ani Lios Posik V'Holech Alav Mimneishu Kemeshev Aveda. And then the last ruling of the Mishnah, that of Abba Shal, is the following. Let's say I lend a poor person money. Chances are I'm not going to get paid back. I'm holding a collateral, but the collateral is, you know, it's just a collateral. So, but, you know, hopefully I'm going to get paid back, but chances are I'm not going to get paid back. Abba Shaul says that what you can do, you the lender, is that you can take the item, you can rent the item out. Obviously, you will be receiving rental fee for renting out the item. And then what you're going to do is you're going to take that rental fee and you're going to deduct it off the loan. So basically what you're doing is you're giving the ani a way to pay back his loan, a loan that he most probably will not pay you back. Okay, and again, more details coming up in terms of the allowance of this practice of renting out an item that you're holding as collateral. Okay, let's start with the Gemara. Lema Masis and Deloka Rav Meir. Let's say our mission is not going like Rav Meir. Detain you in the following brisa. Socher. So here we go. Okay, this is one of the key Gemaras. This is now a discussion of what category should we put a socher in. So again, it's great to conceptualize. It's fun to think about. Meaning that the Torah introduces us to three types of shomrim. Shomachinim, shomasachar, shawal. And again, each one of them is just a shade more of benefit and therefore responsibility. Shomachinim, you're getting no benefit. Shomasachar, you're getting paid. Shawal, you're getting usage of the item. And so for every level, the Torah says that because you get a little bit more benefit, so therefore your liability goes up, your responsibility goes up. So shomachinim, I'm getting no benefit. I have no responsibility outside of pshia, unless I was grossly negligent with the item. By Sharma Sachar, I'm getting benefit and then I'm getting paid. So therefore, Gneva Ve'aveda. Shoal, I'm getting full benefit. I'm not paying for the item and I'm making usage of the item. So you have the full liability. Okay, so now that we have these three categories, now let's think about a socher, which the Torah does not address. What if I'm renting an item? So let's consider now. So I'm getting usage of the item, but I'm paying for that usage. So now, your two options are as follows. So certainly not a shoal. I mean, that's clear. But we can make an argument that you're a shomachinim, and we can make an argument that you're a shomasachar. Let's go over each one. And when the way I'm presenting, by the way, is Rashi. I'm just organizing the information. But everything I'm saying right now is really Rashi on the Gemara. So let's make an argument that you're a shomachinim. It's an easy argument to make. You see, a shomachinim, so he doesn't get any benefit. Here, the socher, the renter, is getting benefit, but he is offsetting that by paying for it. So now, you basically are at zero. Meaning, yes, I'm getting benefit, but I'm paying for that benefit. So basically, in terms of shmira, what am I? I'm a shomachinim. Okay, that's easy. That's an easy argument to make. Right now, the way the Gemara presents it, that argument that I just provided is Shitas Rav Meir. Later we'll switch them around the shitas, but for now, let's call that Reb Meir. The other argument that you can make is that if you're a socher, you're going to be a shomer socher. You are at the level of a shomer socher. Now, why should that be? Because let's consider. Let's say you didn't pay for the rental, meaning you took somebody's item and you made usage of it and you didn't pay for it. And that puts you in the category of a shoah. Okay, and you have full responsibility. So now, if you're paying for the usage, to go all the way from the point of being a shoal down to a shomer chinam, that's a major jump. Considering the fact that I'm making usage of the item, yes, I'm paying for that usage, but had I not paid, I'd been a shoal. And now that I pay, so I can't go all the way from being a shoal down to a shomer chinam, so therefore we're going to stop somewhere in the middle, we're going to be a shomer sacher. Okay, admittedly, for me, I'm talking about, from my perspective, it's a little more difficult to understand that argument, but That would be the argument that you are on the level of a shomer sachar, and therefore you'd be chayving a neva v'aveda. And for our purposes, let's call that now Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, now with that in play, meaning we have a machlokis by socher, whether socher is a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar, now let's turn to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about an uman. Now, I don't want, let's not call it a fifth category, because we have enough categories as it is. So, but let's talk about now a Neumann. So I'm a craftsman. I'm giving somebody's item to work on in my own home, and then eventually I'm going to give it back to him. During that interim, what am I? Am I a Shomer Sachar, or am I a Shomer China? What the Gemara is assuming right now is that really it's going to be whatever you feel about a Socher, you're going to feel about an Oman. Okay, now, it's an interesting equation. And again, if we think about it, it's an equation that needs, you know, it needs some explanation. Well, let's consider. If you're a Socher, so what are you doing? You're getting benefit in that you're getting usage of the item. Now again, you're paying for that usage, but you are getting benefit, you're getting usage of the item. If you're a craftsman, you're also getting benefit from the item. What benefit are you getting from the item? You're going to get paid for the item that you are holding on to. So I understand that the equation is not an absolute equation, it's not a perfect equation, but the Gemara is assuming right now that whatever you feel about a socher, you're going to feel about an omen as well. Okay, with all that now in play, with everything set up, so now that's where the Gemara starts the discussion. Lema masisin deloka Reb Meir. So let's now assume, based on everything I just said, that our mission is not following the viewpoint of Reb Meir. Detanya, because we'll enter a brisa, so here's terms of the renter. Ketza Mishalim, how does he pay? Meaning, what levels he put at? Rebbe Meir, Omer Kishar Machinim, Rebbe Yehuda, Omer Kishar Masachar. So it's a machlokas between Tanaim, and as we already went through the machlokas. So Reb Meir holds that his socher is a shomer chinam. The Gemara is assuming now that if he feels that way regarding a renter, he's going to feel that way regarding an oman, a craftsman who's holding somebody's item. So he's going to be on the level of a shomer chinam. Now, the problem is that our Mishnah clearly states that a oman is a shomer sachar. And so the problem is our Mishnah is not going like Reb Meir. Now, when I say that's a problem, it's not the end of the world, meaning their sheet is Rebbe Yehuda. It just happens to be that generally we assume Stam Mishnah Karebi Meir. So we'd be more comfortable if the Mishnah were going like Reb Meir than that of Reb Yehuda. So this is where the Gemara is going to try to align our Mishnah like Reb Meir. I feel Tim or Rebbe Meir. So now what we're going to have to do is basically say the following. Our assumption was wrong. A craftsman and a renter are not the same. Somehow we're going to have to make the argument that by a renter it's a shomer chinam, because again we're trying to fit our mission to Rebbe Meir. A renter is a shomer chinam, but a craftsman is getting more benefit. Now, what kind of more benefit is he getting than that of a renter? So the Gemara says, "Ba'yana dekashavi koleyama va'agale lididei have ilave shomer sacher." So the Gemara starts off with the following argument. You see, when it comes to a craftsman, I could have taken my item and given to anybody, but I chose you because I think you're great and I think you're trustworthy. So now, basically, by me exclusively picking you, so that vote of confidence that I give you, we're going to call that some type of hana, some type of benefit. And therefore, you are going to be treated like a shomer sachar, you're going to get paid. The payment over here comes in the form of that vote of confidence that I give you, which is a form of hana. A number of times we have seen throughout the Gemara that Shomer Sachar is called a Shomer Sachar even if the payment doesn't come in absolute money, in real money, but if it comes in terms of some sort of benefit, even if the benefit is not totally tangible, then nevertheless we'll call him a Shomer Sachar. So what the Gemara is arguing over here now is that the craftsman is receiving some sort of extra benefit, and that is the vote of confidence that was given to him. So the Gemara says, "Yachi Socher Nami Ba'ina Dekashavi Koleyama Mogila Lididei Havi Lavei Shomer Sachar." The Gemara says, "I'll tell you what. Okay, you want that argument? Fine, but you can make the same argument by the renter. Meaning, if I'm renting my item to somebody, you think I'd rent my item to anybody? Now, nowadays, if you go to a if you go to a car rental place, they'll pretty much rent it to anybody. So, but let's not talk about an industry. Let's talk about a person, like a personal relationship. If I'm renting it to you, it's because I feel that you're trustworthy. So this argument we made by the craftsman, the Gemara says you can really make the same argument by the renter as well. So again, from this standpoint, we really cannot see a difference between an Oman and a Socher. So the Gemara says, "Ela filo tamer ramir ba'yana dekayav leitfei porta havi leveisha masacher." So the Gemara now tries to make another argument, and that goes like this. You see, by the craftsman, so what kind of benefit is he receiving? So he's working on my item, and of course I'm going to pay for that, for the work that he puts in my item, but you know what? Concurrently, he's also watching my item as well. I know that. I recognize that. And that will be represented by real money. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give him a little bit extra, understanding that he, A, is working on my item, and B, he's also watching my item as well. So there is an assumed line item in the cost that is going to incorporate both. And the Gemara now is making the argument, therefore he's a Shomer Sachar. So the Gemara says, Socher Nami, Milo Askina Dekam Mashalei Tvei Porta. So the Gemara says, you want to make assumed line items? The Gemara says, we can say the same thing by the renter as well. A person's renting my item. Now I know that on one hand, he's making usage of the item. On the other hand, he is also watching my item. So we're going to throw that into the rental fee. Now, when I say throw it into the rental fee, I really mean deduct it from the rental fee. Meaning, I'm appreciating and understanding the fact that, yes, he's using my item, but also he's watching it as well. So therefore, I'm going to cut a little bit off the rental fee in order to show that kind of appreciation as well. So again, this is not going to be enough of an argument to make a difference between a Uman and a Shomer Sachar. Elafilatim Ramir, so the Gemara is now going to try a third time. We are in round three in terms of trying to make a distinction. So the Gemara says, "Bahiyana de tafis leya agra de la bayla meila mepa gazuze habi aleya shomer sachar." So the Gemara says, here's the answer. The answer is that when you're a craftsman and you're working on an item, so you know what that item now becomes? It becomes basically ransom. Now, I'm throwing out a strong term. I don't really mean ransom, but I kind of do. Meaning, you know as the woman, you're going to get paid. But you also know that sometimes people are a little, you know, they shuffle their feet a little bit when it comes time to pay. When you're an woman, you have less worries. Because I'm holding his item. And when I hold his item, so I know that he's going to be motivated to pay me because he wants his item back. So therefore, the Shomer Sachar nature of an Uman is the fact that I'm getting benefit because I know that while I hold the item, so that's more assurances that I'm going to get paid. So that's a Hana'ah. You certainly don't have that by a Socher. By a Socher, consider the money is going in the other direction. So in other words, I'm paying him. So this kind of me holding the item as motivation obviously doesn't work in the case of a socher. Now the Gemara says we made a very good distinction between an Uman and a Shomer Sachar. And our Mishnah could be going like Rav Meir. Meaning, I'm sorry, an Uman and a socher. And now we could say our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds that a socher is treated like a Shomer Chinam, but an Uman is different. Now we'll just simply repeat the and articulate what the difference is. The difference is that an Uman, you basically are getting extra benefit because you get to hold the item as ransom until you get paid. And that's an extra benefit to you, and therefore now you are considered a Shomer Sachar. And parenthetically, and now I'll go back to the Mishnah, we really knew this from the Mishnah. Meaning, I withheld this information because I just wanted to go through the Gemara first. But now when you look back at the Mishnah, we knew this from the Mishnah. How do we know this from the Mishnah? Because you look at the first two cases of the Mishnah. What's the second case of the Mishnah? Second case of the Mishnah is when the craftsman says to the guy, you know what, I'm done. And you pick it up anytime you want. And you'll pay me. But in other words, we'll keep those two points separate. You pick it up whenever you want. The Mishnah says at that point in time, he's a Shomer Chinam. And we now all understand how did that drop-off work? How did it go from being a Shomer Sachar down to a Shomer Chinam? Because once the item no longer is used as leverage to get paid, so that's it. He's no longer a Shomer Sachar. From that point going forward, he's now a Shomer Chinam. So truth be told is that this answer that the Gemara finally fell upon is really encoded in the Mishnah.
For Uman, if the item is stolen, is he responsible or not?
So he is a Shomer Sachar. So if it's a Shomer Sachar, he's going to be Chayv Gneva Vaveda. Or once he's finished with the problem and he declares that he's finished with the product, well, right, he says pick it up whenever he wants, so then you're right. So then he drops down to a Shomer Chinam. Okay, so he will make that drop-off point. Ibai, same as the Gemara says now. Everything we just said is only going to be necessary if you hold that Rav Meir is of the opinion that a socher is a Shomer Chinam. So then we had to make a distinction between a socher and an Uman. However, the Gemara presents another version of the Machlokes Rav Meir of Yehuda where it's flipped. So the Gemara says, Ibai Sema Kedemachlif Rabba Baravua Vitzni. Now we have another version which is Socher Ketzim Hashem Rav Meir Omer Kishom HaSocher Rav Yehuda Omer Kishom HaChinam. So here we have it flipped. Now Rav Meir holds that a Socher is a Shomer Sachar, which now means that basically everything we had to say up until now is not necessary. And I guess you could say it even a little bit stronger. Not only is that not necessary, but just the opposite. We're not going to make a distinction between an omen and a socher, and somehow you're going to have to take back the point that we just made a moment ago. Okay, anyway. Okay, the moment that the craftsman's finished with the job, sends a message to the owner saying, you pick it up whenever you want. So now he moved from being a shomer sacher down to a shomer chinam. Tanan Hasam, the Gemara says, let's go over a Mishnah. We will see you later on in the Masechta. And that is, Amalo Shoal, Shlach Ushlacha Umesa. So the person's borrowing an item from his friend and he says, send it. Okay, so the instruction is very clear. I'm ready to take on the item. I'm ready to take on the responsibility of the item. And I'm telling you to send it to me. So, shlacho mesa, and the item was sent, and the animal dies, chayev. So now, the shoel, even though he didn't get the item yet, he's going to be chayev. Meaning, by virtue of the fact that he instructed the item to be sent to him, that already starts the she'ela status, and therefore he's going to be held responsible. Now, the Mishnah tells us later on, the opposite is also true in terms of the return. When you return a borrowed item, the moment the instructions were to return it, so then you lose your status of being a shoel the moment it's being sent in the hands of the shliach. Let's assume, the question is reasonable, let's assume that the kinyan will be done by the shliach. Okay? I'm not sure if I'm right, but okay, right now that'll serve as an answer. Mesa Rav Nachman Papa, the Kulan Shamru, sorry, I skipped an important line. So, Amar Rafram Bar Papa Amar Rav Chista. Lo Shanu Elo Sheikhzir Besochi Mesha Elaso. Avala Achar Yemesha Elaso Pater. This is all true if you're sending it back within the terms of borrowing. When you borrow an item, so if there are no terms, so the Rishonim discuss exactly how long a borrowed item is borrowed for when there are no terms, but let's now have a discussion where we know what the terms are. It's a month, it's 2 months, whatever the terms are. If I'm returning the item within the terms of the She'ela, so in other words, before I need to bring it back, so then we're going to say that I am going to excuse myself from being a Shoel when I hand it to the Shliach. However, if let's say we are after the terms of the she'ela are up, and even before I hand it to the shliach, so I am now going to no longer be a shoel. If you take a look at Rashi, he writes, "Lo shani shara shoel chay ba shetavali de amashol elo shemachzir besochim eshalaso shamlei hashleini azman ploni viachzir besoch azman dehasa makati lo kalya she'ela." You see, if I'm within the terms of she'ela, so I'm still going to take on the role and status of being a shoel until it actually gets back to the hands of the mashal, the owner, or it gets it back to the hands of a shliach. Ade asila yad balim. Avala acha she'ela so pater, Rashi, ve'afila beveso she'shoel. Mesa mishikalo hayamim. Eino shawal alaha. You see, if we're after the terms, so then I am not a shawal on the item. I am certainly some type of shomer, but I'm not a shawal on the item anymore. We are after the terms. I know we can all make an argument that, well, I should have brought it back to him at the end of the she'ela, but right now, no, we're not making that argument. You're at the end of the term, since the owner can come and pick it up anytime he wants, so therefore you are no longer a status of a shawal. So, the avalach is yemeshel asop pater meisiv Rav Nachman bar Papa the kulan shamru tolat shalchav v'havei ma'o shamachinam. So the Gemara says, well, wait 1 second, let's go back to our Mishnah. Now our Mishnah is talking about a craftsman, but the idea is basically going to be the same idea. A craftsman is a shomer sacher, like we just outlined for the first part of this morning, and then when he finishes the job and he says to the owner of the item, I finished the job, you can come pick it up whenever you want, then he drops from being a shomer sacher down to a shomer chinam. So what does that indicate? The Gemara makes the following diyuk. We're on the top of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. Ha gemartiv shomer sacher. If he just simply says, hey, I'm done, that's not enough to remove himself from being a shomer sacher. So, Just because you come to the end of the term does not automatically take you out of the status. That's what we learn from the Umman. Now the Gemara says, I think the same thing should be true by a Shoel. Meaning even though the term of She'ela is up, that doesn't divest myself from being a Shoel. I'm still going to be a Shoel even though the term is up. That seems to be difficult to the opinion of Rav Chista. The Gemara says, "Lo, avay malz v'tol shochah shomer sachar, aval gemar tev mai shomer chinam." So the Gemara says that if you are holding the item as ransom, and we're talking about the Yoman, if you're holding the item ransom and saying, I'm not giving you the item until you pay me, so at that point you're a shomer sachar. But if you say, I'm done with the item, you pick it up whenever you want, and it says if it's tantamount to saying my job is completed, it's like saying gamarti, and therefore you're going to be now a shomer chinam. So the Gemara says, ava gamarti mai shomer chinam, ihachi. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so the Gemara says, well, wait one second. If that's true, why didn't the Mishnah hold out on us? Why didn't the Mishnah give us the biggest chiddush? Which is, you don't have to tell the owner you're finished. You just simply have to be finished, and that now will divest you from being a Shomer Sachar down to becoming a Shomer Chinam. The Mishnah seems to have missed an opportunity of giving us a bigger chiddush. So the Gemara says, V'koshekin Toshacha. So the Gemara says, no, Toshacha is Terichle. The Mishnah still needed to focus on the case of the craftsman saying to the owner, you take it back. Why? So the Gemara says, because I might have gone the other direction. Once the craftsman says to the owner, Tol Shalcha, you take it whenever you want, so at that point in time the craftsman is nothing. Not a Shomer Sachar, not even a Shomer Chinam. And let's consider, because effectively what the craftsman is saying to him is, I don't want it here anymore. I'm not interested in having it here anymore. So you could have made an argument. It's a very good argument. You could have made the argument that he's nothing. Not a Shomer Sachar, not a Shomer Chinam. So therefore what the Mishnah is doing is it's combating that argument. And the Mishnah is saying no. Despite the fact that he doesn't want the item anymore, by virtue of the fact that it's in his house, he's now a Shomer Chinam. Igadam, the Gemara presents another version of this discussion. Am Rav Nachman, Papa Afanami Tanina. Here in the second version, we are going to use the Mishnah as a support. We're not challenging; it's actually supportive. So my love, who adim gemartiv. So here in the second version, we're assuming that by me telling the owner here, you pick it up whenever you want, it is tantamount to basically the case where the craftsman just simply finishes the job. And even at that point in time, he's now divesting himself from being a Shomer Sachar to being a Shomer Chinam. So the Gemara says, Lo Tolo Shocha Shani. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. That assumption is not right. Tolo Shocha is different than him having just finished the job. Okay. Hunamar bar Meremer Kamei Deravina Rami Masnisa Nahadadi Umishani. The Gemara now is going to present the same information, but in the following manner. Two Mishnayos seem to be at odds with one another, and then we're going to answer using the Chiddush. Tanan, we learned in one Mishnah, V'kulam Shamar Tol Shechav Avei Ma'o Shamar Chinam, V'u Adin L'Gemartiv. So, we are going to learn our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that when the craftsman says to the owner, you pick it up whenever you want, he's no longer a Shomer Sachar, he drops down to being a Shomer Chinam, and the same thing would be true even when he just completes the job. Now again, I know the Gemara a moment ago just said, I see it being different, but that was the second version. In the first version, it's one and the same. Or Reminu in the Gemara says, but I'll challenge you based on the following. Amar lo shoel shlach. The borrower says, I want to borrow an item from you. Send it to me. Ushalcha. And he sends it. Umesa. And the item dies. Item here being an animal. Chayev, so then the borrower is going to be chayev because the moment he sent instruction to send it to me, he now at that point in time takes on the responsibility of anything that happens to the animal. And when the item is being returned, the same thing would be true. Which means that when the owner says to the borrower, I'm going to take it back from you, so at that point in time, he drops from being a shoel to, presumably, well, whatever. We'll get to later on what he drops to becoming, but he's no longer a shoel. So it seems to be that we're at odds with one another. Why? Because in our Mishnah, we are learning that once you finish the job, you automatically drop from being a Shomer Sachar down to a Shomer Chinam. In the case of Shoel, we learned in the Mishnah coming up, we will learn in the Mishnah coming up, that your your role of being a shoal will not end until the owner instructs somebody to pick it up. But until that point in time, you don't automatically cease being a shoal. Umishanin, the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you the difference. Amar Rav from Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chista, going back to the Chiddush of Chista, lo shano lo sheichzu besochi mei sheilasa, aval lachi mei sheilasa pater. Again, we'll go back to what we said in the beginning of the sugya, and that is that when the whole discussion over here is only when you're within the term of she'ela. But once you're post-term, once you are finished the term of she'ela, you immediately drop from being a shoal down to a lower level shomer, and which we're going to discuss in just a second. What do you drop down to? But you drop down to being a lower level shomer. Under those circumstances, that's automatic. And now that fits in perfectly with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah has taught us the same point, that when you're a craftsman and you finish the job, so immediately you drop down to being a shomer sacher, down to a shomer chinam. Unless, by the way, just to review, unless you tell the owner, I'm not giving it back to you until you pay me, where there you're holding the item as leverage for your payment, then you're shomer, then you're still a shomer sacher.
What happens to the notification of the owner at some point? If the owner is not notified, how could he assume responsibility?
Right. We're not changing responsibility, we're just lowering your level of responsibility. But I still think your question is, you know, has validity. In other words, if he doesn't know about it, right. So then the shifting of responsibility changed and he didn't know about it. Okay, I still think it's fair. I don't have an answer. Okay, so now we talked about now the shoal losing its status of being a shoal, and as we just learned together, when you get to the end of the term of she'ela, so now the owner picks it up whenever he wants, you're no longer a shoal, meaning you no longer have the responsibility of a shoal. What are you at that point in time? Unclear. Meaning that the Mishnah did not say. And your two options are, you either drop down to being a shomer sacher, or even less than that. Now, I assume that less than that means you're a shomer chinam. I'd find it hard to imagine that you are zero. You're holding somebody else's item. So, I know the Gemara is entertaining that maybe drop down to a shomer sacher, but if it's less than that, I assume it means shomer chinam. Although, admittedly, the Gemara doesn't say that.
Beyond the term agreed, aren't you now a
gasser? We're assuming that the person who is borrowing it is not a bad person. Meaning he's just simply, in other words, if you're thinking, I can make the following argument. At the end of the term, it's his responsibility to bring it back. The Gemara does not assume that. The Gemara assumes that the owner can pick it up at any time he wants. Okay, if I guess at the time of borrowing he says, and you're going to bring it back to me, so then maybe you're right. But yeah, I definitely hear you. So the Gemara says, Amar Amemer Mesabra Patu Mishol V'chayv Kishar Masachar. So, Hol V'nene Mehanehava. So the Gemara says like this. Amemar's argument goes as follows. I think that when the term of Sheila is up and he drops down, so he will divest himself from being a shoal, but he's not going to go any. But he's only going to take one step down to being a shomer sacher. And what's the basis of that argument? It's an interesting argument. Ho v'nene mehane, and that means as follows: He did me good. What did he do? He lent me an item. I didn't pay for the item, so I got a lot of benefit from my friend. So you know what? Even though my term of Sheila is up. But you know what? If he did me a favor, I'll do him a little bit of a favor as well. And that will come in the form of, even though I'm divested from being a shoal, but you know what? I'll be a shomer sacher. I'll take on the responsibility as if I got paid. Here's another beautiful example of shomer sacher does not need actual tangible value. It could just simply be something tantamount to having value. Here, a reciprocity of favor. Okay? Tanya Kavasa de Amemar, the Gemara is going to now cite a brisa that goes along with Amemar. That this idea of hol v'nene mehane is going to be a very good argument. And that is, alokech kel mi beis ha'oman, l'shagron l'beis chamav. Okay, you're going to try to impress your father-in-law, or your future father-in-law. And, in other words, let's say we're at the point of Kedushin, and we're going to move ahead to Nisuin, whatever. And you want to send him gifts. So you go to the woman, you go to the craftsman, and you say, you know what, let's try this out. Maybe he'll like this. So let me buy them from you, but let's make the following condition. I don't know if my father-in-law is going to like it. But let's say like this. I'll take them from you. I'll bring them to my father-in-law. I'll see if he likes it. So if he does, so then I'm on the hook for buying it. However, imlav, but if he doesn't like it, but you know what though? Even though my father-in-law said no, but he's still appreciative of the fact that I made an offering. In other words, he likes that I tried. And that has some sort of value. And by the way, I'm taking it off your hands for a little bit of time. So, in other words, I will pay you for basically making me look good in front of my father-in-law. And also, you know, I know I'm taking it away from you for a little bit of time. So we'll put some sort of value on that, and I'll pay you for that. What the Gemara here refers to as Tovah Sana. Tovah Sana is a term that we always use to describe some sort of benefit that you can't really put your finger on what that benefit is, but everybody understands that there's some sort of benefit to it.
Goodwill.
Right? Goodwill. So the Gemara says, Tovah Sana Shabahem. Venensu, and an ones happens to the item. Behalicha Chayav. Bechazara Pater. Bimneshu Kenosi Sachar. So, if an ones happens on the way to your father-in-law, so then you're going to be Chayav. Why? Because this could be a potential sale. We don't know what the father-in-law will say at this point in time. So on the way to the father-in-law, so we're going to call the potential sale, for the purposes of liability, a sale. Even though we're not sure yet, but en route to the father-in-law, we'll call it a potential sale, / sale. However, once the father-in-law rejects it, so we now know it's headed back to the craftsman, to the owner. And so at that point, on the way back, so we're going to call that a no-say sachar. Okay, now we're calling it a no-say sachar. Now that's interesting. Why? Why would we call that a no-say sachar? Meaning, he's not getting paid to watch it. So once again, we're going to employ the argument of a Mamar. The argument of a Mamar is, since he did me good, so therefore I'm going to return the favor. And here, the returning of the favor will come in the form of, when I return it to him, I will take on the role of being a Shomer Sachar. Okay, so again, this idea of Hovenene Mehane. Next story. There's a person who sold wine to his friend. But basically, he says to him that I'm going to go to such and such a place, and I'm going to try to sell it, and if I'm good, and if not, I'm going to return it to you. So he went to the place trying to make a sale. He didn't make the sale. And now, returning the wine to the owner. And again, this was stipulated. So we're all good. But while in returning the item to the owner, so an ones happened, something that was unforeseen. And they go to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman says, you are going to be held responsible. Now, so the Gemara says, but what about the mission we just learned? When you were sending the item to your father-in-law, so on the way to the father-in-law, since it's a potential sale, so therefore we'll call it a sale in terms of liability. But once the father-in-law rejects it, so on the way back, you're no worse than a, you know, better than a Shomer Sachar. I was right the first time. You're no worse than a Shomer Sachar. So the Gemara says, so over here, by the person who was taking the wine on consignment and were looking to sell the wine, so he didn't find any buyers. So now he's coming back after having been rejected. So he should be a Shomer Sachar. A Shomer Sachar is exempt from ones. So I don't understand Rav Nachman's psak. But the Gemara gives a very strong argument to support Rav Nachman. Amrle chazar dahai halichahi. My time as svaruhu bechazir aso ilo ashkach lizvune milo zavna. The Gemara says, when you're selling something on consignment, even on the way back, yeah, right, you got rejected. Meaning nobody, you didn't find a buyer. Let me ask you a simple question. If on the way back you find a buyer, are you not going to make a sale? Of course you are. So in other words, so even on your way back, there still is an opportunity for a potential sale. And from a liability standpoint, as long as there's a potential sale, we're going to call you the owner of the item, and therefore you're going to be chayav for ones as well. Okay. Shmor li v'shmor lach shmor shomer sachar. The Gemara asks the following question. To appreciate the following question, just a quick preview to the 8th Perek of Bava Metzia, which is coming up pretty soon. We are going to learn about an exemption of what's called Shomer Bebalav, which means the following. That if I am the owner of the item and I give an item the item to a person to make usage of, meaning he's going to borrow the item, at the time when I give it to him, I'm in service to him, I'm working for him, he will be potter, even though he's a shawal. Now, why should that be? For my purposes right now, all I need to tell you is because the Torah says so. And I don't have to give an elaborate explanation as to why. Okay? So, but this is what's called Shmira Bebalav. So even though you're a shawal, and even though you generally have responsibility for everything, for Gneva Vaveda, for Ones, you are chai for everything, but if at the time when the owner gives the item to you, the owner is also working for you. Now, the significant point over here is when he hands it over to you, he's at that point in time working for you, he's doing a service for you, so then you are going to be exempt, you, the shul, are going to be exempt. Okay.
Doesn't his mere presence...
He has to be doing something for you. He can't just be there. He has to do some sort of act of service. Again, when we get to the 8th paragraph, we'll discuss this in more detail. So the Gemara says, so over here, look, we're talking about reciprocity of Shmira. I'll guard yours, you'll guard mine. And the Mishnah says that there's going to be liability. Shomer Sachar liability. So the Gemara now wonders, this is Shmira Babalim. Now, even though it's true, by the way, the example that I gave you was about She'ela, the exemption would be true even by Shomer Sachar as well. Shomer Chinam, debatable, which actually we'll see in just a moment, the debate. But anyway, over here, why don't we call this Shmira Babalim? Meaning, consider that when the person gives me an item to watch, he's also working for me as well. He agreed to watch my item. So this should be a function of Shmir Babalim. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, yes, there's reciprocity, but the days are off from one another. So that means that at the time that he gave it to me, he is not in service to me. In other words, he only plans on doing it in the future, and therefore this is not Shmir Babalim. And like I said, the significant point is that at the time when it's given to me, he is in service for me. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Shmor Li Vashmor Lach, Hashilein Vashilach, Shmor Li Vashilech, Hashilein Vashmor Lach, Kulan Asu Shomer Sachar Zelazeh. The Brisa over here describes basically what we learned back in the Mishnah, that there's reciprocity. I borrow yours, you'll borrow mine, I'll borrow yours, you'll wash mine, etc., etc. In all these scenarios, because there's reciprocity, so therefore the level of Shmir Shomer Sachar, like we learned back in the Mishnah. And again, we're going to ask the same question, give the same answer. Ve'amai Shmir Babalim, He Amar Papa, Darmalay, Shmor Li Hayom, Vashmor Lech Lamachar. So again, same give and take. Doesn't it fall under the category of Shmira Babalim? Answer, the days are offset from one another. Next story. Hanu Ohale. Rashi gives two explanations of what we're describing over here. One says Rashi is that we're talking about people who are selling detergent, or Ohale can come from the word aloe, right? Sellers of aloe. Either way, it's a group of people. That's all. For our purposes, that's what we need to know. Now, they had a rotation of who was going to bake bread that day. Okay, so in this group, so lunch was being supplied by one of the workers, and there was just simply an understood rotation. Okay. So, they turned to one of the people, and right now we're going to assume that it's his day to bake bread. We're going to make that assumption. And Amar Lahu, and he says, the one who's about to bake the bread, not truly glima. Adaitei. Look, do me a favor. Here's my coat. Could you watch my coat for me? Okay. And Pashuba. So now they were asked to watch the coat. They're not getting paid, but they were poshea. They who were watching the coat, the other members of the group, were negligent. And we know everybody's going to be liable for negligence. Pashuba v'ignov. And while being negligent, so the item was stolen. So the item was now lost, in this case stolen, but on account of their negligence. So normally, they should be liable. And that's exactly what Rav Papa said. You guys were negligent, so therefore you're going
to
be liable.
You're going to subject a whole group to a shavua?
To a shavua, I guess. Well, let's go. The Gemara over here has a very specific point. So Amalei Rabbanu Rav Papa, Amai Pshia Babalami. So they say to Rav Papa, wait one second. Remember that at the time where they accepted the responsibility of being a shomer, so he was in service to them. Because remember, he was on his way to bake bread. So shouldn't this be a case of shmir babalim, and doesn't that create a full exemption for them? So ichsif. So when Rav Papa heard that, Rav Papa immediately got embarrassed, because right now we're assuming, hey, that's right. So he was embarrassed because presumably he was wrong. So the Gemara says, however, what was later discovered is that Rav Papa, even though he missed it, but l'siyata d'shmaya, he ended up was being right for the following reason. When he handed the coat, he wasn't ready to work yet. In fact, he was sitting down and drinking a beer. So, and even though he will be working for them, but not now. And again, in order to get this exemption of Shmir Babalim, you have to be in service the time that the item was given. And that wasn't the case. So Rav Papa ended up being right. Now, so the Gemara says, now again, this takes us to the eighth parak of Bamitzia. We're going to get there in just a little bit of time. But what we will see later on, there's a debate. This exemption of Shmir Babalim is true by Shoah. It's also true by Shomer Sachar. Is it also going to be true by Shomer Chinam? Debatable. So the Gemara says, so if you subscribe to the idea that this exemption is true by Shomer Chinam, so then good. So then I get it all. But Elahu Yuma Lav Did, I'm sorry. However, there is an opinion that we'll see later on that Shmir Babalim, the exemption of Shmir Babalim, is not true by Shomer Chinam. So if that's true, so then Rav Chista, sorry. So then Rav Papa was right. So Rav Papa was right. So then why would he be embarrassed at all? So the Gemara says, Amai Ichsef. Ella, so the Gemara says, so basically what we're going to have to do is we're going to adjust the story just a little bit. Now, we're not adjusting the story, meaning the Gemara says that there was another version of how the story went. Ella, Yuma Lavdi Day Hu. So the Gemara says that it was not his day to bake the bread, meaning we assumed up until now that it was his day to bake the bread. The Gemara says it was not his day to bake the bread. And therefore, Amru Leili Diday Zil Apilan At. So, the Amaluba Hu Agra Deka Apinalachu Yetir Glima. So you see now, because it wasn't his day, so therefore he had leverage. And he said to them, yeah, sure, I'll bake bread, but I'm supposed to get paid. In lieu of getting paid, you're going to wash my cloak for me. So now they are a Shomer Sachar. Now for Shomer Sachar, everyone agrees that if it's Shmir Babalim, there's going to be exemption. And then and now the story is going to be the same from this point going forward. But in this version of the story, they are Shomer Sachar, Shomrei Sachar. And so therefore, also coming to Rav Papa, Chayvinu, Rav Papa says that they're going to be liable. Amar Rabbanu Rav Papa, Hashmir Bebalim Hi. So they said, yeah, but wasn't he working for them at the time? And doesn't that create an exemption? So he was embarrassed. And then later was discovered that he was drinking beer at the time, and therefore it's going to, he wasn't servicing them at the time of the deposit. One more story to finish up for today. Hanu beitrei dehavu kamaske borcha. There were two people walking together. Chad arich v'chad gutza. One was tall, the other one was short. Aricha rachiv chamra. The tall one was riding on a donkey. V'havelei sedina, and he was wearing a linen garment. Gutza, the short one, michse sarvela. He was wearing a wool garment at the time. V'kamaske bekare, and he was walking by foot. Okay, just some details. That's all. And kimate lenahara. So now they get to the river. So shakla sarvele veusve ilave chamra. So now, the one who was wearing the wool. So he was going by foot. So he took off his wool garment and he put it on the donkey. Veshakla sadina dahu veichsebe. And he took the linen of the tall man and he covered himself with the linen. Right now, let's assume that all this was consensual. They both agreed to this exchange. Shadfu Amayla Sadina. Now, as the short man was walking through the river, wading through the river, wearing the linen garment of the tall man, the current took the linen garment and took it downstream, and now it's lost. Also, come to Rava Chayvu. So they go to Rava and they said, "Okay, what kind of liability we're talking about?" And Rava says, "We're talking about liability, meaning you are responsible." So they turned to Rava and said, "Wait 1 second. When the short guy was taking the linen garment, so the tall guy was in service to him. Remember that he at that point in time accepted the wool garment from the short guy. So this is Shmira Bamalim. So Ichsiv, and therefore should be exempt. Ichsiv, so Rava was embarrassed, so Vigla Milsa, the below Daite Shakli, Uvelo Daite Usve. And then later discovered that when they had the exchange, it was not a exchange by consent. In other words, the short guy was just a little bit chutzpahdik. He just took his garment, threw it on the donkey, took the linen garment of the guy. So all this was not by consent, and therefore he's going to be liable. One more story for today. There was a person who rented a donkey to his friend. And look, here's our rental agreement. You're not going to go down the Narpakot River. There's water there. There's running water over there. And my donkey is going to get swept away by the river. Zilba Orche de Narash. I'm telling you, you're going to go by way of Narash. The Lake Gamay, there's no water over there. Azilba Orche Narbakot. And the renter did exactly what he was told not to do. He went down the Narpakot River, Meis Chamra, and the donkey died. Kiasa Amar in Borche de Narpakot Azle. And so now going back to the owner. So he makes an admission. And he says, "I went down the Narpakot River. I know you told me not to, and I did, and I apologize. However, umiu, but like Amaya. But here's what I'm also telling you. There was no river that day in the Narpakot. And so therefore, I understand that you told me why not to go. And in general, of course, I should be liable. But I'm also telling you that there was no water that day. And so therefore, it was not my fault." So, Amalei Rava, Mali Lashakir, Ibaye, Amalei Anaborcha Denarish Azlei. So we have over here what is classically known as Amigu. Meaning he could have said that I went down the Narish River. Now, of course, that would be a lie. But in Migu, in the world of Migu, if you could have made a statement, even though it's not a truthful statement, but you could have said it, so therefore it extends you now credibility on that which you actually said. So now we have the Migu argument to give him credibility. So Abaye says, wait 1 second. Migu does extend credibility. But look, we have Edom. Now Rashi points out over here, we don't have real Edom, but we have a general presumption that the Narpakot River has water going through it. Right? Rashi uses the term Anan Sahade. It's as if we have witnesses saying that there's water running down the river. The Migu argument of credibility is not going to trump the argument of the basic fact that there is water running down the river. And so the Gemara says, so Abai says, so I don't really think that he's extended that kind of credibility. Okay. We started the Mishnah on payment base today talking about an Oman in terms of what level of Shmira does he have. The Mishnah states unequivocally that he is a Shomer Sachar until he finishes the job. The Gemara tries to make the comparison. Is an Oman going to be like a Socher? Well, if that's true, then our Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda. And what we did is that we gave arguments why we can make a distinction between a Shomer Sachar, a Socher and an Oman. And then a good part of today talked about the end of Shmira. Meaning, if we come to the end of the term of Shmira, are you no longer a Shoel? The Gemara says, effectively, that's true. That's a Chiddush by Rav Chisda. What do you drop down to? The Gemara's conclusion is that you drop down to Shomer Sachar. Why? Hold the Nene Mehane. Since you did me a favor, I will return favor by allowing myself still the status of being a Shomer Sachar. And then, finished up today with a couple of discussions of Shmira Babalim and when it applies and when it does not apply.